But I told my wife this the other day. We were driving down the road. I looked over and said, Carol, I said, you make me want to be a better me. There was a movie where a guy said that. I can't remember the name of the movie, but anyway. And in the same time as I made that statement, the Lord said, that's exactly how I want you to love me. And I said, Lord, that is so awesome, Lord. I love you so much, Lord, that I want to be a better me so that I can serve you with a true heart. I just want to encourage you this morning to think about those thoughts. Again, I told you earlier that we had a leadership meeting this weekend, and it was an awesome time. God moved and strengthened our leaders, and we got to pray for each other. We got to talk to each other. We shared all kind of good things. Oh, the young people are telling me, guess what? It's time for children's church to be dismissed. Here I am. I'm going on talking. Children's church is going to be dismissed. They're going to go in the back and have a great time. Hallelujah. Jesus. And all the parents said amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for reminding me, baby. She's like, hey, don't forget us. Hallelujah. He's lost. Somebody help him. Anyway, like I said, we had a great meeting. And in the process of talking to all of our leaders this weekend, we gave them I gave them 25 encouraging scriptures. And I told them, I said, now, take just a minute. Stop and read these. Sometimes when we read our Bible, we're trying to accomplish a verse or a chapter, or trying to get in. Look, I read a whole chapter this morning. I read a whole, you know, book or whatever. And sometimes we get so caught up with just reading that we're not reading with eyes to see what God wants to say to us. So I want to encourage you this year, first of all, to read your Bible. But secondly, don't accomplish it. Don't just accomplish reading. It's about getting the word in our hearts and in our minds. The Lord judges the heart. And I want to encourage you this morning to grab on to God's word and bring it in. Say bring it in. Just bring in the word of God right into your mind and your heart and soul. And I told our leaders this weekend, I said two words that want to describe this meeting tonight and Saturday morning was to stop. I said, just stop. Stop and think. Why are you here this morning? Stop and consider. Why am I truly here? Am I just trying to check off? I went to church this week. Hallelujah. Or do I want to see Jesus high and lifted up? Do I want to understand the God Almighty just a little bit closer? Just a little closer walk with Thee, huh? Just a little bit more. How many of you are looking for just a little bit more of God? And that's what He wants to do. He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to seek after Him. But many times we get knowledge and we get things. And you know the word uses a scripture. It says that, what are you building? What are you building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Are you building it with gold, silver, and precious stones? Or are we building it with wood, hay, and stubble? And if we're building it with wood, hay, and stubble, if we're just building something, then when the fire comes, and it will, how many of you have been through the fire? When the fire comes, it's going to burn away all the stuff that don't matter. Have you ever found out that you've done some things in your life that just really just didn't matter whether you did it or not? Have you ever just bought some stuff and you thought you had to have it, but after you got it, you realized it didn't fulfill what you thought it was going to fulfill? And then now it's sitting in an attic and you're going to have to put it in a garage sale. Hallelujah. See, so many things we don't realize is just temporal. And God's wanting to build on the eternal, which is in our heart, and which is His love and His mercy and His compassion. He wants us to grab on to what He has in store for us, because it's so much more important. How many of you know it's eternal? It's eternity we're talking about. You know, sometimes we don't just really stop and think about that. We just think, well, you know, I'm just trying to be a good person. There's a lot of... Well, I'll just better not say that. There's a lot of good people that think. This is what the word says. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. There's another word that says something like this. It says that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are beneficial. So I'm just going to encourage you this year to learn to get beneficial things instead of just not important things. Not important. I was talking to somebody else this weekend, and they were telling me, they said, man, I've been doing this and doing that, and I got all this stuff and this, that, and the other. And the end of the year, he says, I'm wore out. How many of y'all are wore out? Don't raise your hand. Well, never mind. Let's raise your hand. Are you wore out? You got some things you've just been busy doing. Well, I'm going to just pray for you right now. Father, we ask you to pour out your spirit right now. Give them some peace. Lord, renew and rejuvenate and revive their hearts and minds in you in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Don't get just busy, caught up doing things for doing things' sake. I told everybody I was not going to preach this morning, but it seems like I keep preaching now, so I'm going to shut up now. Hallelujah. And all of the leaders that I asked to come up and speak this morning, they all going, no, go ahead, brother. You go. Well, I'm just waiting to see what how much time I got left to fill in. Adam, are you still wanting to go first? I was telling him, I said, he said, I want to go first. I was like, okay. So come on down. Y'all give him a hand. This is some of our leaders. Hey. Come on down, but in the process of him coming down, if all of our leaders would go ahead and stand up, I want them to be recognized. We had a great meeting this weekend, and the Lord poured out His Spirit and touched some people's lives. Got a few new folks that are stepping up and starting to become leaders around here. We appreciate that. We thank you for what you're doing. Amen? And just, are y'all ready? You're going to have your words ready in just a minute? Okay. All right, they wanted to know who was going to be first. I said, it doesn't matter to me. You just jump up whenever you're ready. You ready?
Hallelujah. Good morning, church. So he is correct. We did have a leadership meeting, and a lot of good things come from leadership meeting. Go ahead, Sam. God calls us all at different times in our lives. He called me at a point in my life where I was on the bottom. And all I can say is thank goodness for him, because he has brought me here. He has taught me how to be more compassionate towards people than I ever was before, and to understand people a lot more, to work together. There's a few folks that's sitting in this church that know me when I was younger. And I probably wasn't the most compassionate person or understanding, but it was. For a season, it was fun, but it's over. And there's a new part in my life that has grown, and it involves the church. And I'm not saying the building. I'm saying you guys, this body, and people that are out there need us. So we pastor gave us some verses to look over during our leadership meeting, and on our verses he wanted us to just, you know, write little paragraphs on what that verse meant to us. And I had a few that stood out, and one of them was in Matthew 16:18. It said, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And that is so important, because building on that rock, that solid foundation, it can weather any storm. Whatever storm's coming, whatever battle's coming, you're not going to destroy that rock. And it takes people to build on that rock. It takes people to repair other people. It takes people to repair what's been broken down in here. We don't understand how important it is to build on this rock until you've stood at the front door of the church and you welcomed in people that are hurting. And we have some great guys that do that here at the church, Mr. Mark and Tim and Bill and other gentlemen and women that stand at that door and greet people. We don't understand that shaking somebody's hand and telling them, hey, it's good to see you, how much that means to this person that's hurting. We also don't understand that these young people that are in the back are growing up in a world that is just falling apart. And it takes the people at the front door and the person that cleans the bathroom and the person that sweeps the floor and the person that talks to this guy to reach down to one of these children back here and say, hey, God loves you. Hey, you're doing a great job, you know. I'm bragging my son for a minute. I got told at the soccer game the other day how Kiwi is such a respectful young man, and my daughter as well. I didn't know these people. The only reason the lady recognized me, she said, you're Macy's dad. And I was like, yes, ma'am. She said, I could tell because y'all look alike. I said, yeah. I said, that's my daughter. And she said, your daughter is so sweet to my kid. And I was like, well, you know, as a parent, I'm like, they better be, because that's what I want. I want them to be respectful, and I want them to be sweet, and I want them to treat other people with kindness, because that's how we gotta show our children the love of God. They're gonna take that and go show other people. So I want to build on my rock, but I want to build it with you guys. I want it to be so strong that when the storm does come and I'm weak and I'm tired of fighting, that somebody walks up to you and says, hey, I got you. I have been in my own battles many times before. And Jeremy Noller, they have been introduced into our leadership here at the church. And thank y'all for stepping up. And Robbie and April for stepping up. But Jeremy came and he prayed for me. And he told me, hey, I got you. Y'all don't understand. I cried because somebody's, you know, not that I don't have people praying for me, because I know I do. But somebody I just recently have been introduced to just a few years ago, we have become so close. Our kids hang out together. We hang out together. It means so much that he stood up and said, hey, I'll stand behind you. But we stand for the same thing.
Yes, amen.
I got another one. I'm not going to take all the time. I know April's been wanting to come up here. So, in Galatians 6:9, it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. If we do not, we will lose heart. Being a good Christian is hard. This is not an easy battle. Some of us think, man, you know how tough I was when I was young? You know, yeah, we know. We've all been there. Most of us, man, we'll walk around here with our chest poked out and we're ready to go. I want to say that I could stand here and say that I could probably take a good beating. I'm good with that. Being a Christian is probably one of the hardest beatings I've ever gotten. I have watched family members destroy themselves over the worldly stuff, the drugs, the whatever. And I have stood and fought, praying, please, God, get them out of that. Please, God, I don't want to lose them. I spent many nights crying, because I didn't want to lose my brother and my father to drugs. And when the day comes, you get a phone call from the jail, and they got your dad. And he says, son, I need you to come get me. And you tell him, I'm sorry, I can't. And he yells at you and screams at you and says, but why not? I thought you loved me. And you got to tell him, I think that's the best place for you to be right now. Maybe you should sit down and pick up a Bible and start learning a little bit. And you get hung up on. And, of course, that doesn't last long because they're going to call back. And he does over and over and over. And every time they call, I said, are you praying yet? And after a month or 2 months, he says, hey. He calls you one day and he says, hey, I got into this class here at the jail. And they're teaching us the Bible. They have a pastor that comes in twice a week. And I said, well, are you praying? Yep, I've learned to pray. And he says, you know, there's four of us in a three-man room. I said, really? And he goes, and one of the younger guys in the room let me have the bed because I was older than him. But he needed a father figure at that time. He didn't have one. He was 21 years old. My dad's 50-something. And then you go to court 6 months later, and the judge tells him, well, I'm going to sentence you to 15 years. And you're like, oh, man, you know. What do you do then? What do you tell him then? When he turns around and looks at you, and he's like, you know. And then the judge turned around and also says, you know what, we're going to go ahead and suspend 10. And we're going to give you 5 at home on a monitor. But it's up to you to correct it. And he turns his life around and gets out of that. And now, does he still go through battles? He's doggone right. We battle every day. But somebody had to take a stand. Somebody had to pray. Somebody had to spend that time down on their knees begging for him to see whatever he saw, for him to understand whatever he needed to understand. And you grow weary, and you grow tired. And then you call on your friend, and you say, man, I can't take it anymore. I've been praying for this, and this is not working. And they say, hey, let me join you. In the season of being down and weary, there comes a season where I've regained my strength. And somebody's called me and said, hey, brother, I need you to pray for me. I've ran across many people that, you know, ask me, why do you believe in God? And my simple answer is because I've seen what he's done for me. I can't say that I have physically saw him stand next to me, but I can tell you right now, there's some stories that I would tell you, and you'd say, oh, my goodness, that kid's still alive. My wife has, you know, I've told her some of the things, and she's like, only one person could stand there and protect me the way he's protecting me. And for God to do that, he's got a purpose for my life. If that means being here and reaching out to somebody here, or somebody out there, which I do, that's fine. If it's just that one person, then I will. But I like to reach out to many. I like to show them that God just loves you so much and that he's ready for you. If you give him just a little bit of time and start seeing the little bit of time that you give him, what he can manifest and grow in your life. My life is awesome. I'm watching family members turn around and say, hey, cousin Adam, you know, this is going on for me. You know, my younger brother, he, you know, calls me all the time. And he was probably one of the main ones I've ever worried about. Still do sometimes. But to watch that young man turn his life around, you know, it takes the day where I pull up and he's at home working on something and I walk up and he's listening to some music. And I know some of the older folks in here don't listen to rap music, but they do have a such thing as Christian rap music. And he's listening to that and I'm like, hey, that's so-and-so. Boy, he looks at me and goes, are you serious? How do you know who that is? Well, because I listen to him. But he's there soaking in because his older brother has soaked in. And I show it to them. The last verse, and I'm going to get off of here. 2 Timothy 2:3-4. Therefore, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of his life, that he may please him who enlists himself as a soldier. I put on the armor of God every day. Every day. God has called me to battle, as he's done many. I never enlisted into the real military. I have very much respect for them and what they do. Some of us don't understand what they've done. There is a battle, spiritually, that's got to be fought. And it takes somebody bold to stand up and say, hey, I'm going to fight it. No disrespect to our older people in here, but us younger guys and younger girls have to stand up. They can't keep fighting. They're tired. It's time for a new line to step in and say, hey, devil, you want some? Come get it. It is time for us. And I know that Jeremy is going to come up here and tell you how to get that prepared, because he knows what I'm talking about. He told me to be prepared. I thank y'all. I thank you so much for letting me be a part of leadership here. And I just ask that y'all go out and touch somebody's lives today. Just touch them and let them know that God loves them, and you know, bring them in. They're lost. There's people that are lost, and it's time for us to bring them in.
All right. I'm not a good public speaker, so if you hear a little tremble in my voice, that's why. Yeah, true. So this weekend was a really, really, it was a humbling weekend, you know, to say the least, you know. It kind of put myself down here and God up here where he has to be. You know, you have to put yourself down. A word that kept coming to me was the word prepare. The word prepare, like Adam kept saying, for months and months, probably for the past 3 months, I've been sitting over here like, oh, Jesus, why do you want me to stand up and open my mouth? I can't do it. I have no confidence or anything. I just can't do it. And I was not obedient. I was disobedient. I sat over there and I kept my mouth shut for months and months and months. And this leadership meeting that we had just it loosened. Yeah, I guess that's a good word. But it brought confidence back into me, and that's something that we all need.
Yeah, sure.
We all need to have that confidence. The word prepare. When you prepare for something, it makes whatever you're preparing for go a lot smoother. So it's very important that we prepare for things, you know, so that we're ready. Tyrone, he gave us a list of scriptures, you know, that we read and we went over. And it was, you know, more so to clear our minds so we can sync up with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, stop thinking of worldly things and polluting our minds. And the scriptures that he gave us, they stood out to me. They literally were screaming at me, you know, saying, you know, read these scriptures and put them in a way to where they will prepare me for what's about to come. Because we're going to go through struggles, we're going to go through roadblocks, we're going to go through a lot of things. And the scriptures that God has given us prepare us for those struggles, for those roadblocks. So it's important for us to daily read our Bible, read our Word, and download these scriptures so that when we go through these roadblocks, it's a lot easier. We're prepared for them. That's what these scriptures are doing. They're preparing us for the real world. So what I ended up doing was I was instructed to put all these scriptures in sort of like a prayer that would prepare me for everyday life. And it's something that I'm going to wake up and read every single day, and I want to share them with you. I want to share this prayer with you. If you would, close your eyes and just listen and pray and hear it and pray along with me. God, I ask that you instruct me and teach me in the ways that I should go. I ask that you guide me with your eye, for I do not want to be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, for they must be harnessed with bridle and bridle, else they will not come near you. God, I want to be near you. I will trust in you with all of my heart, and I will not lean on my own understanding. In all of my ways, I will acknowledge you. And I ask that you direct each one of my paths. Lord, I will not be wise in my own eyes, for I will fear you and depart from evil. Lord, humble me and show me your understanding. Lord, make my strength so big that I will not faint in the days of adversity. For I will wait on you, Lord, so you shall renew my strength. So I shall mount up with wings like eagles, and I shall run and not grow weary, and I shall walk and not faint. For I know that you are with me. God, I will not fear or be dismayed, for I know you are my God. God, I ask you to strengthen me, to help me, and I ask you to uphold me with your righteous hand. Lord, I know that your thoughts are not my thoughts, and your ways are not my ways. I know that your ways are higher than my ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Lord, I shall call upon you for many answers, so you can show me great and mighty things which I do not know. I forget my labor is tough, and my laden is heavy, and I ask you for rest. Lord, I ask you for your yoke to be upon me, so I can learn from you. For I know you are gentle and lowly in heart, and I seek rest for my soul. For I know your yoke is easy and your burden is light. On this rock, which is my heart, I ask you to build your church so the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. For I know the things which are impossible with men are possible with you. For I know that all things work together for good to those who love you and to those who are called according to your purpose. God, you are with me, so no one can be against me. I have not seen, nor no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, which has not entered into the heart of man, the things which you have prepared for those who love you. God, I ask that you do not let me grow weary while doing good, for I know in due season I shall reap, if I do not lose heart. For I am confident of this very thing, that who has begun a good work in me will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. For I know it is God who works in me and wants me to do his good pleasure. For I will be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, I will let all my requests be made known to you, God. For I know doing this that I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. For my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, you have called me to be faithful, and I will be. For I know you have not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I know I was there for endured hardships as a good soldier, but I know I have your Son, Jesus Christ, by me. I know no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. For you have enlisted me as a soldier, and God, I ask you to constantly remind me of these things that you have taught me, that when I am weak, I ask that you spark my memory and remember these things. In your Son's holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. So... Oh, I'm not as nervous now after that. It's crazy. It's weird how things work. But going back to the word prepare yourselves daily for what you're going to go through, because in this Christian life that we all are in, we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared. If we're not prepared, we're going to grow tired. We're gonna grow weary. And it's not going to end up where it needs to end up at. So prepare yourselves daily. And that's it. I don't know who wants to speak next.
All right. Well, whenever after Adam, I didn't know what he was going to say, by the way. But after he went, I was like ready to go. And then he told you to go. I was like, dang it. Because it really went along with his so perfectly, but it was just a different. Anyway, so I woke up this morning, and a lot of times, you know, I'm always praying for my kids, of course. And as I started praying for my kids, I completely forgot that we had to do this today. And then, but God started working through me through the praying for my kids. And it was that I pray for them as they go to school, because they're going out and, and it's hard. It's hard for them. And they come home and they tell me, you know, how hard it is to do the right thing. And, you know, one day my daughter came home and she was crying because she had done some wrong things at school, and she felt so guilty for it. And she was basically asking me for forgiveness, like, I'm so sorry I did this. I know I shouldn't do it. It was wrong. And I said, I don't care what you did. I don't care what you did. It's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine, you know, as long as you are trying to do the right thing, as long as your heart is in the right place, that's all I care about. And I told her, I said, I know it's so hard. I know it is. You know, Mom and Dad had to go through it too. It's hard to make the right choices, but you have to. And sometimes we forget that they're kids and they're in school, and it's not a big deal, but it is. And we go through the same things that they're going through. It's just a different scenario. But they're out in the world just like we are. And I tell Adam all the time, like, I just wish I could just bring them home and let them homeschool so I can keep them safe, you know. But they have to grow up, and they have to live in this world just like we do. So they have to know how to stand strong. And like he said, it's not easy. It's not easy for us as an adult to stand up and do the right thing whenever everyone else around us is doing wrong. But we have to, and we have to teach them that now. And I know that, but it's not easy. I still want to just keep them safe. But anyway, so if we are to do justly, justice and love mercy and walk humbly, it brings us against the flow of the world. And it's going to be hard, and it's going to be tough. And we're called to be different, and we're called to be righteous, and we're called to be faithful, and we're called to show love, and we're called to forgive. And all these things are just difficult. And we, as he said, we are in a battle. This is what I'm reading. And we must be strong. And as I read the scriptures that he gave us, which, I don't know, I guess we're just going to have to get a copy of this for everybody so y'all can have them, because I don't want to read all of the scriptures. I'm just going to read you what I felt God tell me through all of these scriptures, because I don't want to take forever and read all the scriptures too. But anyway. So this is what I heard God telling me, to seek understanding. Trust me. Don't think so much. Keep your thoughts on me, and everything will be all right. Man's righteousness is a filthy rags. Revere his name. When you wait on me and submit to my will, your path will be smooth, and when those troubles come, you will handle them with peace. Never forget that I am with you. I am here for you. My hand is not too small. It's not too short or in any way inadequate, but the perfect tool for every job. I will protect you. I will guide you. I will comfort you. I bring you peace. There may be times you do not understand why things turn out the way they do. Do not concern yourself with these things. Just trust me. Never doubt. Have faith and trust me in all things. Call to me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things you know not of. I can do the impossible. Keep moving forward and don't stop. Your labor is not in vain. It will come to completion. God is in control, whether we know it or not. He has a plan, and we are on His path. Do not doubt. Do not worry. Walk in power and in love and in a sound mind. Times may become rough, but do not become distracted by worldly arguments, disputes, cares, or worries. Just keep your eyes fixed on me.
All right, the Bomas and Nolers are done, so the Johnsons are next. Just so you know. Okay, so about 2 years ago, Miss Carol had asked Jerm and I if we would step up into children's ministry. And I was like, no, not right now. I felt like I wasn't ready. And over in the Bible, you'll hear people, God, me? Are you sure? Right now? This isn't a good time. This can't be. But we have to realize He's got plans already. And when we say no and we hesitate, we're messing something up. Now, did anything go wrong with children's church? No, it still ran fine. But some of our other leaders were getting tired because they were working in so many different ways. It's time for all of us to step up and be leaders. When we first hear leaders, we're like, oh, yeah, that's the elite person. They know what they're doing. Yeah, Casey will be really good in children's ministry because she's already a teacher. I've just always liked being with children because I can still act like a kid and they don't judge me. But so she asked me again this summer or past summer after VBS, well, what do you think now? It's like, What are we doing with decorations? She's like, no, do you want to step up and start taking over children's church? And I was like, okay. She's like, well, go home and talk to Jeremy about it. I was like, no, we'll do it. She's like, just go home and talk to Jeremy. And it's not that I was just signing Jeremy up. Jeremy knows that that's my calling is to work with kids. And his too. He works with kids outside of the church with sports and everything. So he's already going to support me. There was no need to go home and drag it out anymore. That's my thing. I cannot hesitate anymore. When God's telling me something, I've got to move. So another thing with titles is when you get a title, you get a spotlight. Everybody's, oh, look what they're doing. I'm already a teacher. I'm on the PTO. I do coaching. And I was like, I don't want another title. Just let me help out. But then it's like, it's not a title. It's me being set apart. I'm moving towards God. So, okay, yeah, we're children church leaders now. And that's fine. I love it. Every time we go back there, we learn something from the kids because they have the most intriguing questions. They never say, oh my gosh, they didn't know the answer to it. They jump right into their Bibles with us and we look up the information. I absolutely love it. They keep me burning for God whenever I feel like I'm getting weak. They're the ones that support us back there. The next thing that I heard during our leadership meeting was just to be bold. Don't be ashamed or nervous or feel awkward talking about God. It's so easy to talk about Him when we're here at church. Everybody loves God. And we got this going on. But then when we go out, we're like, yeah, I had a good weekend. Never mention anything about going to church. We never mention any things that God's done for us outside of church. I've gotten past that. I still struggle when I'm talking to adults that I don't know, tell them who my God is and how awesome he is and all the good things that he's done for me, but no more. He told me to be bold, so now it's time for me to be bold and not to hesitate. In 2 Timothy, it says, my son, throw yourself into this work for Christ. And say tiptoe. Go head first into it. Don't hesitate, because he has so many good things for us. If we keep hesitating, we're not just messing up our path. We're messing up the path of the people around us. Everything, I tell my students all the time, you choose the consequence. It can be a good one or it can be a bad one. I don't want to hold anybody up. Nobody, not a single person in this room. You guys have become more of our family than our own flesh and blood family, because we're all moving in the same direction. To go back to the hesitating thing, I'm probably the world's biggest procrastinator. I can't help it. It's like, it's way down deep in there, okay? I'm trying. It's just, it's a 12-step program, and I'm on like negative 2 at the moment. No, Jeremy's the one that makes me 15 minutes late for everything. He doesn't help with the procrastinating. Yeah. But, I mean, just like this week, you know, we had the leadership stuff going on. Our boys, all three of them, had to be in across the globe pretty much yesterday. And it's just so much all at one time. And it's our fault, because we double book everything and we just keep putting it off. But it's time to change our mindset. It's time to stop saying, yeah, I can do that, because that opens the window of putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. So now we're thinking more of a positive way of, I will do this. So if somebody says, oh, can you pray for me? Yeah, come on, let's pray right now. They give me that weird look, but if I don't pray then, something else is going to take over, and I'm going to forget I was supposed to pray for you. So it says to concentrate on doing your best for God. Don't concentrate on everything else. Concentrate on what you're good at and what God is using you for. Not everybody's meant to work with the kids. Not everybody is meant to stand up here. Not everybody is meant to sit outside. It's our job to start bringing them in. All of you have a mouthpiece. Use your words, your way of telling them, hey, why don't you come in with me on Sunday? They'll start listening, even if they don't come the first time. You just have to start talking to people and letting them know how good God is. The last part of 2 Timothy that I was going to read, it says, run away from infantile indulgence. Run after mature righteousness, which is faith, love, and peace. Joining those who are in honest and serious prayer before God. Refuse to get involved in inane discussions. They always end up in fights. God's servants must not be argumentative, but a gentle listener and a teacher who keeps cool. Working firmly but patiently with those who refuse to obey. You never know how or when God might sober them up with a change of heart and turning to the truth, enabling them to escape the devil's trap where they were caught and held captive, forced to run his errands. So I ask that each one of you do everything that God is asking you, but do it with passion and do it with purpose.
Yes. Well, I'm going to just give you a little short story where mine began. It was a long time ago when I was about, I guess about 19 years old. About 19 years old. There you go. Anyway, me and my brother wanted to go party one night, and my mother said we needed to borrow her car so we can go party that night. And she says, only way you're going to borrow my car is if you go to church with me tomorrow morning. And we both looked at each other and went, oh, man, you know, if you tell Mama yes, it's on. There ain't no turning back. So we both said yes. And we were out all that night and got up the next morning. We went to church with her. And actually, that was the first time the Lord ever touched my heart. And then that's how I ended up here now. And what I've gained so far since we've been coming that moment on in church too. We've been other places too. And it's just changed my life a lot. It needed to be improved, and it was. Definitely improved. So any guys out there, if you're wondering how this is going to end, if you stay steady, it's going to end great. So as we got to the meeting, and I was reading all that, I read it over like three times, and I'm trying to think, man, I like it all. But I like the very end of it when we become soldiers in his army. And I said, man, you know, I just don't want to be a soldier. I want to be a general. I ain't satisfied to be a soldier. I want to be a general. And then I think about, wow, look at the armor he gets to put on. You know, the armor is just bad looking. And I mean, that's tough. And the things that you go through trying to get to these processes and going through them, it's a challenge all the time. I mean, I have challenges all the time, but, you know, it always comes back to the Lord, the faith. Think about what you learned, and you learn a lot from, I don't know, just everyday life seems to be, it gets better and better. But when you're coming through trials and tribulations and you're thinking, you start to forget about all the powers and the tools, I would say, he gives you to fight this. Yeah, I mean, I find myself getting frustrated sometimes, and I say, you idiot. So all you got to do is ask the Lord, and he will give it to you. So I say, man, yeah, I'm an idiot sometimes because I'm not thinking, because you're already thinking back into the flesh and you're not thinking like you should be about God and Jesus for all what he's done for us. And once you start realizing that's all I really have to do, everything else becomes gravy, becomes real simple. And the more you practice it, boy, the simpler it gets. But I ain't saying you still going to have issues. And, I mean, I had issues a while back. It was just like, man, Lord, help me, help me, help me. And he helped me. And that's all I had to do was ask. Instead of fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting. And I'm going to give you one more little thing that I learned when I was younger. I was telling Tyrone and everything that I had a dream that I've always been chased by monsters. And I said, man, I'm so tired of running. He's always right there. And no matter how hard I run, how fast I run, he's right there. And I just said, man, I'm tired of running. I'm going to turn around and fight this thing. I'm going to die, whatever it's going to take. I'm turning around. I'm giving it all I got. So when I turned around, it was gone. And I'm thinking, you idiot, that's all you had to do. And I'm thinking, Lord's telling me, you idiot, that's all you had to do. You know? And that's how I've got to where I'm at right now, and I'm in a beautiful place. I'm staying. Home, sweet home. And that's my story. Thank you very much.
He said you wasn't going to preach. I'm going to jump up there and say my little thing and get back down. So I've been back there watching the clock going, keep going, keep going. Okay. I know. I'm sorry. I've really and truly been sitting in the back going, okay, they're gonna preach this thing out, and I am off the hook. But, you know, God doesn't always let that happen. And so I guess of all the scriptures, they all spoke so heavy to me because, like my husband said, and I've learned also at the leadership meeting, we all go through battles. We all go through battles. sometimes we feel like we're the only one. Never mind those 7,000 other ones that have not that. Don't get me going. I've been listening to Tyrone too much. Anyway, the scripture that stood out to me the most was Proverbs 3:5-7. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And he said, stop trying to do everything yourself. Because that's something I really struggled with. And then later on when I read it again, I understood trust in the Lord with all your heart is have faith that he's got it. We don't have to keep fighting. I mean, we are fighting, and sometimes we're so tired of fighting, like Adam was saying, you just feel like, I can't do this anymore, but somebody's got my back. And so, anyway, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And I understood that to say, seek him. That's acknowledging him, is seeking him first. Don't just fly off the top of your head. Do you notice we have a little head issue going here? Anyway, and give God the glory for what he does. Do not be wise in your own eyes. And I heard, don't think you have the answer. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And that's just obvious, you know. But anyway, that was the one that spoke to me. Although truly, they all really did. You're going to have to make a bunch of copies because everybody needs this. But thank you very much for the privilege of being a part of this church body. I know we're all the body of Christ, but I'm really glad that God planted us here. Thank you.
Good morning, church. it's been a wonderful time, the little part of the service that I met. I've been away since on Monday. But in spirit, I have been part of the leadership meeting because every bit of it, my wife gave me the download. And I remember on Friday when she got back, we got talking maybe probably up till about 11 or 12 midnight, and even yesterday. And she told me everything that happened. Praise the Lord. And since I did not prepare something to say per se, as I drove into the parking lot, the Holy Spirit told me pause, because I had seen that it's very likely I may be called up unprepared. The Holy Spirit said pause, and also because I saw the picture Pastor Tyrone posted already about one of the leadership speaking here at the altar. I said, okay, if I walked into the church, I might be called up unexpectedly. And then it's good to be ready as a good soldier, just like one of my brothers have already said. And so Holy Spirit gave me this scripture from the book of Matthew chapter 5. But before I go to that scripture, there is something I'd like to say. So this morning, I woke up getting set to come to church very early. Planned to leave New Orleans about 5 a.m. So my wife had woken me up. You can imagine, she was here in Waveland waking me up in New Orleans. And so she had called my phone as early as 4:50. And he said, are you up? I said, yes, I'm up. So I ran, dashed straight into the restroom and had my shower and came out. And I told the hotel people that I would like to have my vehicle because I haven't seen that vehicle in the last 5 days. That I would like to have the vehicle in the next 20 or 30 minutes so that I can be on my way. They say, all right, so we will have it in the next 20 minutes. And so I got down and they say, sorry, we tried jump starting your vehicle yesterday, and it wouldn't start. And so we got to look at what we're going to do about it. So to cut the long story short, that vehicle wouldn't start this morning. And so I got there. I was, like, frustrated. What will I do? I was cash-strapped. I had spent all I had on the hotel bill. And then thoughts began to run through my mind. What is it going to cost to buy a new battery? And what is it going to cost if I have to tow the vehicle? How am I going to do it? Where is the fund going to come from? And in the midst of all those confusion, thank God that, you know, you can have a partner you can lean on in the midst of confusion that you can stick. So I still called my wife. I told my wife, this is what is going on. It's okay. What are we going to do? I said, I don't know. And they're okay, I will call you back. To cut the long story short again, we decided that we were going to tell one of my professors that was present. So I called my professor, and then he came to my rescue. And then I'm here. Now, what I'm going to bring out from that is that, you see, whatever we go through, if we can call, we have a God that is much more responsive than a professor. We have a God that is much more responsive than a partner, than a wife, than a husband. If we can just call, He will come to that rescue. He will come to your rescue. He will come to your rescue. So straight away to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, I'm just going to share just one verse. And I also want to thank my brother and my sister, and my brother Adam and sister Tabitha. They were all aware, and, you know, they did all they could to bring Enoch here this morning and the entire family. I appreciate you all. God bless you in Jesus' name. Sorry, I'm trying to get through my Bible. All right, so I have it now. Just two verses. Matthew 5, 13 and 14. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the feet of men. Maybe I should read another version. All right, thank you, sir. I have another version before me. I don't know if it's the same as what I'm looking at up there. Ye are the salt of the world. You are the salt of the world. But if the salt shall lose its taste, how can it be made salty again? It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. What God is saying to us today is that He has already decided that we are salt. And what is the job of a salt? It's to sweeten things. It is to preserve. I rarely find where, you know, sometimes you can even use salt to scare ants away. If you put salt in some places, there are some ants, they're not going to go close to that salt, right? So salt preserves, and salt sweeten things. So we are supposed to make our society sweet, the church of God sweet. But if we lose our saltiness, what is the remedy when salt loses its purpose? So as Christians, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? What is my purpose as I'm seated right here? It is good we make up our mind this year that I'm going to fulfill my purpose. It is good you make up your mind, I make up my mind, that I will be sought. There is something we should be remembered for. We are not all going to remain here together forever. I am not being negative, but that is the fact. It is the fact that one day you will no longer be here. It is the fact that one day you will no longer be in this community. You will no longer be on this land. But what would you be remembered for? Enough of wasting our purpose. It is time. Like most of the leadership have said, it is time to rise. It is time to be the soldier God has called us to be. It is time to be sought. Thank you.
Okay, we chicken? Hallelujah. Anybody? Come on. Come on. Oops. Who's coming? Maggie.
Okay. In case anybody's confused, we had a sheet with a bunch of different Proverbs and scriptures and Psalms. So we were asked to write something about how this scripture affected us, what we were thinking about. So I wrote a bunch of different ones, but I didn't have much to say on most of them, just a little bit, my reaction. So I'm going to try to pick through here a little bit. The one that said, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye, was what God gave me after Katrina. Because, you know, I'm alone. I don't have family here. All I have is y'all. Y'all are my family here. And so I was, like, kind of scary, you know. I was up in this campground, and I heard there were drugs in the back part of it, you know, and they found a dead man, and I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, what am I doing here? But, you know, I was on the good row, the teacher row. But this is the scripture he gave me in that little FEMA camper, you know. And then I went to Walmart, and there's a poster with the same scripture on it. I think it was Walmart or the Bible store, I don't remember. And it had a little kitten on it. So I had to buy that poster and stick it up on the wall, you know, where I could see it every day. Thank you, Lord. Because I didn't know what to do. You know, you just spinning around in circles and you don't know what to do. So God has been showing me ever since. I mean, that was a game changer. That was a big deal for a lot of people and for myself. That kind of opens your eyes, you know. Anyway, that was that one. And then fear not. For I am with you, Isaiah 41:10, I think it is, yeah. And it says, do not be dismayed, for I am your God, I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And I must put my trust in him, so I won't be dismayed, because you can't help it once in a while. You get down, you know, things don't go your way. And so I said, I just need to trust God. I need to look at him and put my trust in him. You know, he's been through everything I've been through. He knows what's going on. Put my trust in him so I won't be dismayed. Only trust in him and his great plan and design for me. Even though that's a cliche, but it's true too. And so his design can elevate me and lift me out of the miry clay of life and set me up on the rock where it's clean and dry and solid. You know, it's just, I saw that vividly, the difference between the mire down here, you're in the mud hole. Literally, I was going through a mud hole this week. And then you get up God's going to lift you up on the rock where it's clean and dry. And I just love that. That just really blessed my heart. And then Isaiah 55:8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. And this, I said, this is a hard thing for me because you have to let go of control and completely surrender. But he also gives rewards. Don't forget you're going through this, but he's going to give you a reward at the end, you know, for your obedience. And I thought about Jesus. It said he went to the cross in obedience to the Father for the joy that was set before him. Now he is walking in that joy forever. He doesn't have to look back at the cross. He's going forward. There ain't no cross up there. And where it says, Jeremiah, it says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. And I said, in my quiet place. And then I said, be faithful to go there. You have to be faithful to go there so you can hear what he's trying to tell you. You know. And in Galatians, it was talking about, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And I just said, amen. Not losing heart is a matter of choice. Like David in the Bible said, why are you downcast, O my soul? Trust thou in God. And I said, don't let Satan rob you with his weariness and, you know, self-pity and all that garbage. This reflects poorly on Jesus. I thought about it. You know, Jesus is our Father. He's our leader. He's our King. And what are we? Well, we're making it look like he's impotent. He can't do anything, you know. He can do all things, you know. It's just, we got to get out of that mindset. And when we recognize that it's the devil, we need to kick him out. You know, we need to kick him out. Because he's the one dragging us under. Like the alligator, you know, trying to pull us down. Alligator. Anyway, let me see. Okay, where am I? Being confident of this very thing, Philippians 1, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I said, we will get tired of circling that mountain and give in to what he's doing in us. I said, 40 times is enough. That's enough. Okay, let's see. Enduring hardship. This is a hard one, but this life is not the end. Remember, every one of us has a hardship. So if you think you're going through something, everybody's going through something. We are not alone in this. We must encourage each other. Don't forget to do that. Let's see. Oh, wait. I missed one. There was another one. There was one. Let me find that one. Hold on just a minute. Oh, I like this one. It said, I missed a whole page. It said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. Oh, I already said that one. Wait a minute. Hold on. this one, 40:31, Isaiah. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength and mount up with wings. And people were talking about that, and it got me thinking. And I just wrote, the graceful bird, the eagle, a picture of God's beautiful design, and he put it in this creature to know what to do to raise its heavy body. It's heavy. It's a big bird. Up and to soar high above the earth, like he shows us how to soar with him above the world and all its problems. I like that. That just really is a beautiful picture. Let's see. There was something about... Anyway, the Lord gave me a word. I don't know. Oh, let us not grow weary in well-doing, not losing heart is a matter of choice. But the Lord gave me a word while I was praying through, and I met a friend, and I've been really battling in the spirit for his salvation. He is really just right there on the line, you know, and you can see it. But he hasn't shown up yet. And I think if he ever walked through that door, God would grab him, you know. And I tried my best to get him to come. But anyway, I'm still praying for him. I'm still going to do battle for him. I don't care what happens, you know. But, and so the Lord gave me a word. When you're going through hardship, oh, and it was in, hold on just a minute. Let me put my glasses on. It's in Exodus 17. And it was talking about how the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey, and they were going for a long time, didn't have any water to drink. I think it said 3 days, but I'm not sure. So then the people contended with Moses, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Who am I? You know, why don't you talk to God?" He must have gotten frustrated. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which to strike the water." I think this is the wrong place. No. Okay. Okay. "And stand on the rock at Horeb, and you will strike the rock, and the water will come out of it, so the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders. No, there's another place where they came to a place called Marah. And Marah means bitter. And the waters there were bitter, and the people could not drink, and they were very, very thirsty. So they were griping at Moses. Moses said, "What do I do?" And the Lord said, "Take that tree and throw it in the water, and it will make the waters sweet." So they threw the tree, and the Lord spoke to me. That's like when you're at a bitter place in your life, you're going through hardship, and the tree, he said, is the cross. You know, he showed me, the tree is the cross. If you put the cross right in the middle of your heartache and your trial, it's going to sweeten that water. It's going to show you a sweet thing out of that hard circumstance. He's going to make that meaningful to you, and not just meaningful, but it's going to make your heart feel better, and you'll feel the sweetness of what's going on. So that was the main thing. So I thought that was really sweet. I got the wrong scripture reference. But and then it said, "Being confident of this thing," oh, I think I said that, "we will get tired of circling that mountain." I guess that's about it.
Hallelujah. Come on, Charlie. Hallelujah. Hey, is God good?
Kidding with her yesterday. I don't want to go by behind anybody. I can go by anybody besides her, but obviously everybody else has stepped up today for sure. If I can get this thing to. It's upside down. No wonder. Oh, sorry. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Okay. Mic. I have to get used to this. Definitely out of my comfort zone. I was having a hard time just choosing one verse, period, and even three verses or whatever. So I finally decided on a few verses, and then I would go and read a different verse, and I was like, "Oh, man, I like that one, too," and then I like that one, and finally, I just heard the Lord say, just make a story of all of them together. I mean, they're all important. Obviously, he gave them to Brother Tyrone for our leadership. So That's what I did. And they're all different versions, from anywhere from New King James to Message to Amplified. So I don't think I'm going to read all the verse, the titles, because it just kind of throws the story off, I guess, kind of, sort of. And we're going to start with Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. The Lord says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. No one has ever seen, and no one has ever heard, and no one has ever imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Let God prepare for us things that our eyes have not seen, and our ears have not heard, and our heart has not thought of. Things that can only be revealed to us by his Spirit. We will have our share of hardship, passing through the difficulties which we are called to endure, like the good soldier of Jesus Christ. For God is working in us and given us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Matthew 16, 18, which a lot of people have, mine came a little bit different, but on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. What the Lord showed me was that Jesus was telling Peter that with the faith that he had displayed, that he was going to build his church upon that faith, and that not even the powers of Hades would be able to prevail against a person who walks in faith. Romans 28 says that we can be so sure that in everything we do in our daily lives, if we do it for the love of God, it will be worked out into something good. And let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. And Philippians 1:6 reminds us to be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. May God himself, the God who makes everything holy and whole, make you holy and whole, put you together, spirit, soul, and body, and keep you fit for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who called you is completely dependable. If he said it, he'll do it. Faithful and absolutely trustworthy is he who is calling you, and he will do it. He will fulfill his call by making you holy and guarding you, watching over you, and protecting you as his own. If the Lord has put something on us that we are supposed to be doing, then the Lord will give us the ability to do it. He will not lead us into a situation and then leave us there to face it alone in our own weaknesses. The word tells us in Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. 2 Timothy tells us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is not from God. God doesn't want us to be shy with his gifts. He wants us to be bold and loving and sensible. And the Message version of Psalms 32:8 says, let me give you some good advice. I'm looking you in the eye and giving it to you straight. Don't be ornery like a horse or a mule that needs a bit and bridle to stay on track. If a horse was to fight the bit and bridle, it would hurt and cause a lot of pain. So the horse is trained to follow the prompting of the rider. When he follows along, it's not painful like it would have been if he hadn't followed his lead. That's how we should be. We should let Jesus be our bit and bridle, and we should just follow right along and let him lead us. if we follow his leading, we will end up at the right places and stay out of the wrong places. And Luke 18:17 tells us, what is impossible for God is possible with God. I encourage you to believe that with God, all things are possible. All things. Yes, I know if we think from the flesh sometimes, it may not be possible. But we serve a God who created everything that we see out of nothing. And he just spoke it, and it was. All he needs is your faith in him. He just needs for you to believe, and he will do the rest. Jeremiah 33 says, call to me, and I will answer you. I will tell you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. All of us have daily wants and daily needs, and sometimes what we might want might not be what we need. Thank God that he knows exactly what you need and that he will be faithful to provide it. Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait for the Lord, who expect, who look for, and who hope in him will gain new strength and renew their power. They will lift up their wings and rise up close to God like eagles. They will run and will not become weary. They will walk and not grow tired. This encourages us to quietly wait on God as we spend time alone with him in prayer and worship and reading our Bibles. It does more to restore our bodies, our minds, and our emotions than anything else we could do. We need to do this regularly. We need to prepare, and I urge you to make time for this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worry, pray. And always pray with thankfulness and praise. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. This scripture, I felt, was trying to encourage us to have the faith in God and not in our own thinking or reasoning. Reasoning is not faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We need to be aware that trying to reason everything out by ourselves is a big problem. We need to live by faith, leaning on him. We need to lean more on Jesus. We need to trust Jesus and not ourselves. We cannot do anything worth doing without Jesus. We are to fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. Come to me, you who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is saying here that he will calm and relieve and refresh our souls. God will give us the power and the strength that we need to serve him. God teaches us that Jesus leads us to a place that is comfortable and gracious and pleasant. Jesus wants to lighten our load and to give us rest. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. This tells us that our strength is small if we faint or we fall to pieces when we encounter hard times or a difficult situation. The Bible never promises us that we will not face adversities, but it does promise the strength and the grace we need in order to overcome these adversities. With God's strength, we never have to become faint or give up, no matter what trials and tribulations come. Philippians 4:13 reminds us, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I believe that this verse is trying to tell us that we can do anything, that we can't do just anything that we want to do, or we can't do something that somebody else is supposed to be doing. It simply means that each of us are able to do whatever God has assigned us to do or has gifted us to do. If we go a verse before that one, it shows that Paul knew that whatever state he was in, it was God's will for him at that moment. And he also knew that God would strengthen him to do whatever he was calling him to do. And Paul believed that even the unpleasant things would ultimately work out for his good. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And then last but not least, definitely not least, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you know God is good? Woo! All right, one more time, if all of our leaders would please stand. Let's give them a great hand. They did a great job. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We only got 10 more to go. No, I'm just, we're going to go ahead. We're going to go ahead and call it a day. If you didn't get a chance to talk, hang on. You'll have plenty more times the rest of this year. Amen? Amen. That means you get to preach our whole message because, you know, obviously, you know, some of us, I was worried about them, you know, being too quick. I said, they're going to come over here a little bit and be done. And I was like, my goodness, we got some preachers in the house. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for another wonderful day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in many different ways. Lord, we thank you for the anointing, Lord, of all of our leaders. Lord, we ask you to bless them and encourage them, Lord. Let them run with endurance the race that you've set before them. We give you glory and honor and praise. And everyone said, amen. If you've got kids in nursery or church, hurry up.